The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTapes.com studios.
It's Good Friday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com. On AZ Central Sports, going to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona. And on Twitter, of course, you can hit me up at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. Sports Illustrated Stuart Mandel, one of the leading voices in all of college football, will join us in about 10 minutes. Stuart on this day, he's a Northwestern grad. I know he went to Arizona State, I believe, for a bit. I could be wrong on that, but something tells me he has an ASU involvement. But Stuart Mandel from Sports Illustrated on the Northwestern lawsuit, which is taking place today, the landmark decision there. Also, I want to talk to him about Pac-12 football, where things are at nationally, the Pac-12 view, some of what's going on in the ACC, forming their own super conference television network and all of that, along with the SEC, plenty of college football with Stuart Mandel. Goody at the movies today. It is Friday, so as always, we have Goody at the movies. Bill Goody Kunz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Always good to catch up with Bill and some things on the TV end. Bill will be joining us in about 45 minutes from now. Doug Tamro is going to join us at some point in today's show. Doug Tamro, for those of you that don't know that name, if he involves Arizona State Athletics and Pat Tillman, he's very involved with the Pat Tillman Foundation. Of course, he's very close to Pat and Marie Tillman. He is the ASU Assistant Athletic Director on the media end of things, but he handles Pat's run. Tomorrow is Pat's run. So this is just one of those last minute things. And here's also a voice that you'll hear that has great knowledge of what's gone on behind the scenes through the last 10 years with not just the Tillman family, but the Tillman Scholars, the Tillman Foundation. And with Pat's run being tomorrow, I want to have Doug on for a couple of minutes. Eric is here today getting ready for a big, big sports weekend. I am going to be out tonight doing some soccer because I love that sport. It's a lot of fun. I'll be at the AZ United game tonight doing the play-by-play as they take on LA Galaxy 2. I've got some soccer tomorrow with my little guy. Some football tomorrow afternoon. Going to the Diamondbacks game tomorrow. Are you doing anything fun this weekend, E? Are you doing the laying low or
anything fun?
Yeah.
No, not really.
You working?
Nothing. Yeah, I'm working a little bit this weekend, and I'm probably going to kind of just lay low and
guys, I heard somebody, I heard one of the talking heads last night say that we're coming into the slow time of year in Valley sports. And see, I disagree with that. There's always something going on here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it may not be the Big Four. I get that. But there's things that I would say we have like the Big Eight or the Big 12 here of things that can be had. I can go to Larry Fitzgerald's softball game tomorrow night. That'll be a lot of fun.
Diamondbacks are back in town.
I'm going to their game tomorrow night. I have to go speak to people about what I do tomorrow night. It's a business thing.
Ooh.
I know. It's one of these things that they want me to come to a suite. They want me to go down on the field and schmooze and hobnob with all these people. And then they want me to talk about what was your vision. Why did you walk away from TV? Why did you say enough of traditional radio? And it's very simple. It's fine, but I need to decompress at some point. I need to unplug at some point.
It's better they ask you to show up tomorrow than tonight for Walking Dead Zombie Night.
You know,
if they ask you to speak at that, that would be sort of, you know, read between the lines here, Sesmatt. What are you doing?
Well, that's true. And there's some people
you missed it by a day. Congratulations.
No, there's some people that would say that I do that every day anyways.
Truth.
There's those people that are out there, and that's fine. Knock yourselves out.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters going to hate. They're not going to relate. That's fine. It ain't great that haters don't.
Okay.
You got enough? No, so there's some things. I think the Northwestern lawsuit today is not the overwhelming thing. I'm not going to sit here and break down the Cardinals schedule. And then after the break, I'm going to break down the Monday night schedule. And then after the break, I'm going to break down the breakdown of the Monday night schedule. I'm not doing that nonsense. But I think that the Northwestern lawsuit, while it's of interest to some, I don't think it's of interest to the masses, but it is worth noting, what does this lead towards? Where is this heading? And so one of the leading voices in all of college sports, Stuart Mandel, will be with us here in a few minutes. Look very much forward to talking to Stuart. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top. You know, this weekend, there's a group of guys I know that are heading on up to the Honda Resort and Casino. They're actually going to Greer. Going to go do some fishing. I'm going to swing by the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top, where the temperatures are going to be gorgeous this weekend. Make a little bit of rain up there. But so what? You're indoors. You pull down in the slots. You have some fun. You watch some sports. Eat some great food. And it's all just outside of Pine Top at the Honda Resort and Casino. Simple to get to. Just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Get out of the valley or wherever you're sitting at your desk right now. You're saying, Brad talks about Honda Resort and Casino. I need to go. Yeah, just go. Just outside of Pine Top. And there you go. Eric mentioned the Diamondbacks are back in town and that it is zombie night. So Sammy Sosa was upset that he wasn't invited to the Diamondbacks-Cubs game.
He looks like a zombie now. Have you seen him lately?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Doesn't look
what
good.
Happened?
What happens when you go off the stuff?
White as a ghost does not do him justice.
You
wouldn't recognize if you saw him. If you're watching or listening, Google Sammy Sosa real quick, and you won't even recognize him.
Well, the fact that he got all worked up that he wasn't invited to the Diamondbacks-Cubs game for their 100-year celebration. I'm trying to think when the Diamondbacks have like their 50-year celebration of some guys that you would say, you know, in the history of the franchise, we just don't want them to walk through our doors. And I can't think of any. There's some guys that left here on bad blood. That happens in sports. But is there someone that would just be like, no, we don't want you here?
Yeah, like Mike DeFelice, I don't think is going to get invited back anytime soon.
But he was a journeyman backup catcher.
Right.
No, he was nothing when he was here. He really wasn't. He wasn't here long enough to do anything other than a little bit of damage to the organization's credibility. John Frascatori and I had a knockdown dragout, really bad knockdown dragout.
Man, that's a name from the past.
I know.
Woo!
He got all worked up because somebody called me on the postgame show and said, what are they going to do? Maybe they should put Frascatori in the bullpen. And I said, just right off the top of my head, I said, he walks in without his glove. He walks in with his gas can and a pack of matches. And the next day he showed up and he was pissed. And the day after that, Jerry traded him to Toronto. It was beautiful.
Journeyman pitcher.
See you later. Thank you for playing. Don't get all worked up. But Sammy Sosa, I mean, that's like an iconic name if you're a Cubs fan. And I understand you're used to losing. So I thought that was interesting that came out. Sosa said, it had been 10 years since I played my last game with the Cubs. That's a lot of time to not have had a conversation about this. Well, no, you embarrass the organization, and that's that. So that's something that was on my mind. They are home to the Phillies starting tonight, and then they have the Rockies that come in for a few games. But I would say that this weekend, outside of the promotional stuff that they're doing, this isn't going to be good. This is going to be 6 days where the attendance, hey, honey, let's go see the Rockies in town on a Tuesday night. That's not happening. So it's going to be empty down there. And yeah, they won a couple of games. Does that take the pressure off? We'll see. Bo Singer did pitch well for them, though, yesterday. I have to give him credit on that. I watched the playoffs last night. And the NBA playoffs have been very compelling to me this year. I wish that the Suns had made it because when you see what's going on in some of these series, it's pretty clear if the Suns had just won one more game or two more games, I think they could play with some of these teams. They're not built as a postseason squad. Memphis is. I'm watching Memphis last night push Kevin Durant all around the floor. Memphis is one of those teams. They've got a very good group, and Kevin Durant is in some trouble.
We just have to be better next game, you know. We just have to be better. So, you know, we know it's we're down 2-1, and we don't want to go into a bigger hole than that. So we got to come out and play with a little bit more sense of urgency.
So you have a regular season guy in Durant that had played lights out MVP conversation. They're down in their series. I understand there's a ways to go. But you look at Memphis, and I try to look at it from the standpoint of what are the Suns seeing when they're watching these teams in postseason? And Memphis is so big and so physical. And if they are, in fact, this offseason, if Pau wants to be reunited with Mark and you put him with Zach Randolph and Mike Conley, that's a team that is a riser. Houston is playing Portland. And James Harden, our Sun Devil guy, is getting torched nationally because James Harden has been not good from the floor. And Portland's done a terrific job against him in the postseason. I watched the Clippers and Warriors last. I watched that game almost from start to finish. And it was terrific. Blake Griffin went crazy last night.
DeAndre Jordan right of the circle, hands it off to Redick, chased around by Iguodala. They go inside to Griffin, takes it to the house and flushes it home with the right hand. And the crowd wants to boo, but they realize what an effort by Blake Griffin. 29 points for Griffin.
You know, the Clippers have this group about them that you say, boy, they can go a ways, but the Warriors pushed them last night. The Clippers were able to hang on and win. It was feisty, a lot of chippiness. I like seeing Charles and Shaq go back and forth here in the play. I think Charles and Shaq have had their best exchanges with one another. And I don't know if somebody's been in their ear saying, you guys need to disagree more, get after it more. They've had some of the most entertaining television and dialogue that I've seen. Here's Blake Griffin on his big game last night. The Clippers beat the Warriors.
Just tried to be aggressive. You know, we ran such a good offense, you know, at the beginning of the second half. And we played such good defense that, it got us into everything. But we got to do a better job of keeping the lead.
So the Clippers go on to the win. Some bad news today if you are a Kentucky Wildcat fan, it's good news. The Harrison brothers decided to stay. If you're Grand Canyon University and you're Dan Marley, that's really not good news because GCU goes to Kentucky in November. That's the first game on their schedule. And welcome, Dan. And here's Aaron and Andrew Harrison that are going to take on. Do you think there's some kids today over at GCU that just soiled themselves?
Nah, because I don't think those guys knew they'd have a chance even if the Harrison twins lefty.
They're going to return to Kentucky for their sophomore season. Arizona State continuing their postseason grabbing of junior college players. They get one of the top J.C. Fords in the country, Willie Atwood. 6'8" guy that averaged 29 and 2 assists. Some of the things going on in the Arizona sports scene here brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. On the other side, Stuart Mandel. This is a big day in college football. Northwestern lawsuit, A. B, I want to talk to him about the super conferences. Could it be that the Pac-12, the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12 and Big 10 just all merge, and as we see college football as we know it, it takes away the NCAA, and they just form their own set of rules. I'm going to talk to Stuart Mandel about that, one of the leading voices in all of college sports from Sports Illustrated. He's next. I'm Brad Sussmath. Brad Sussmath, Sports 360 AZ on AZ Central Sports. Good to be partnered with the Arizona Republic on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmath. You can watch the show on sports360az.com. And, of course, AZ Central Sports, appreciate them being with us as well. A lot of college football. 2 weeks ago, we had the show in Tucson with Rich Rod coming by and Greg Byrne talking with them about spring football. And then off the air, we talked a little bit further about the Northwestern situation. I was over at the ASU spring game on Saturday and talked with Todd Graham about that for a little bit. And, of course, the people at ASU, Ray Anderson, on with us last week as well. So it is a buzz topic here in Arizona. But there's other college football stuff I want to get to and big picture on this. One of the leading voices in college football, always good to have Stuart Mandel, SI.com, college football insider, with us for a couple of minutes on a day where, how would you sum this up? People are claiming that it is a historic landmark day about the Northwestern players casting secret ballots and attempts to unionize college athletes. Stuart, from your view, would you put it in those same words?
I would, though I think it's largely symbolic. First of all indications are the players are going to vote no. But regardless, the fact that we've reached this point, that a football team from a major BCS conference school, rose up to this level and said we want a voice. It's pretty significant, and just look at everything that has resulted from it. I mean, certainly in my time covering college athletics, there's always been that kind of, lingering debate over pay-for-play and things like that hovering over the sport, but it really intensified from the time that the NLRB officer in Chicago ruled that they were employees. So, I can't take credit for this line. It's been written other places, but the CAFA, the group that is organizing this, even if the vote does not go their way, they've won because they've brought so much awareness to the issue of how student athletes are treated in the system, and you're already seeing NCAA start to implement some modest reforms, most of which were actually in the works long before this, but the coincidence of it and the timing of it kind of brings this whole sense that
Now, you went to Northwestern, right?
I did.
Andy Bagnotta was one of your professors, the great Andy Bagnotta.
How did that come up?
I was talking to Andy. I was talking to Bags. And, of course, we do a lot out here in Arizona. So he flunked you, right?
Yeah. He was a tough grader.
I'm just kidding on that. But here's the thing. I'm getting to in all seriousness. You were at Northwestern. Could you have ever imagined that Northwestern would be the football school to move forward, or the university, rather, to move forward with their football program to bring this issue to light?
No, it's been very surreal to watch, a program that, first of all, I've known Pat Fitzgerald since he was a player and I was a student there. Mm. It's been very surreal to watch a program that, most people hold up as one of the ones doing things right, kind of go under trial, really. I mean, this whole thing has been putting their program under a microscope, and King Coulter, the quarterback from last year's team, who's really spearheaded this whole thing, when they had the hearing a couple months ago, all of his testimony was about how oppressive Pat Fitzgerald was as a boss, and the hours they have to work, and him claiming that he didn't get to pursue the major he would have otherwise because of football obligations. And I do think that for the people that helped out in organizing this, the group in LA, I think they wanted a school like Northwestern to be the test case, because then they could say, hey, if this happens here, it certainly happens everywhere. But I do think it's been unfortunate. I mean, I have to admit, as an alum, it's been unfortunate to watch. It's really divided the alumni. It's caused a lot of tension on campus. It's certainly made life really difficult for Pat Fitzgerald, who's basically under trial right now. So, obviously it's been surreal and a little bit difficult to watch.
We're talking with Stuart Mandel for a couple of minutes with Brad Sesmat, SI.com, College Football Insider. Appreciate Stuart's time. Comes on from time to time. Sports Illustrated does a terrific job. On the field, what does this do to Northwestern? I think you alluded to it a little bit with Pat Fitzgerald. Here's a program that last year, the first month of the season, looked great. Team season went into the dumper. Are they going to be able to recover from this on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be very curious. I mean, no program in the country, obviously, is going through something like this, both internally and certainly the amount of coverage it's getting. The good news for Pat Fitzgerald is that this all took place in April, and although we're not going to know the results for a long time, I mean, basically we'll go on the back burner at this point, and they can kind of re-galvanize, focus on football. But, it's certainly been I can't imagine it hasn't been a distraction for the team. I think once they get to the season, I'm sure the coaches and the players, too, will use last season as motivation. I know they know they were better than a 5-7 team last season. They just, they almost beat Ohio State on homecoming under the lights,
Day
and everything. And they, they fell short at the end, and then they proceeded to lose 7 straight. I think most people expect them to rebound this year. They certainly have more talent than that. If they do have another bad season like that, you would have to question whether this divided the locker room.
I'm curious on this because I've heard lots of and read lots of opinions on where this is going, but if you could peel back the onion on this one narrative that I've heard, that we're moving closer and closer to the Big Five just forming their own group, see you later, NCAA. I know that's a very complicated, complex issue, but can you even begin to break that down in a minute or two? Is there truth to that?
Intriguing possibility for people who don't like the system as is, but it's really not happening. I mean, just yesterday, the board of directors approved a plan in which those Big Five conferences, not breaking away, but they're going to have the freedom to pass certain legislation on certain issues that basically, if we can afford to give a cost of attendance scholarship, we should be allowed to do that just because we shouldn't be kept from doing that just because some other schools in Division I can't afford to do it. So that was their main goal all along in this. They just want to be able to spend their money the way they want to, and an acknowledgement that they have advantages and issues that don't necessarily apply to all of Division I. To depart the NCAA, I'm sure that sounds very convenient, but people have to remember football and men's basketball is just one small slice of everything the NCAA oversees. Most of these programs sponsor 20, 25, 30 different sports. Why would you want to undertake that on your own when you've already got an organization that does that for you. So, no, I don't think the Big Five are formally separating, but symbolically they are, in terms of this kind of, for the first time ever, being allowed to have their own voting procedure separate from the rest of Division One.
A couple other questions I'll let you go. And if you didn't see everybody at the top of the draft, I get it in your position, but you've seen a lot of college football. Who was the best player that you saw last season that will be drafted in less than 2 weeks?
Johnny Manziel, no question about it. He was, in my time covering the sport, without question, a very unique and incredibly athletic and talented individual who last year showed he's a heck of a passer too. I know that the NFL tends to be a little more conservative, and maybe teams would shy away from somebody who improvises like he does. But I mean, I remember being down the field at the end of the Alabama game last year, and just the way he moves his body, I haven't seen anybody else able to do that. Jadeveon Clowney is probably the best, just pure talent from pure talent standpoint, the best player. But there's obviously some questions after his drop in productivity last year.
And before I let you go, out here, the Pac-12 South, I think, is loaded. I think actually the Pac-12 is loaded. You have a thought on the South, though, in particular. Hundley's being pushed. Hundley for Heisman. Can Sarkisian bring USC back? Rich Rod feels like they're headed in the right direction. Questions about replacing Kadeem Carey. Todd Graham here in Tempe feels like they're going the right way. And Colorado and Utah talking about getting better and better. But what do you make out of the South?
Yeah, I mean, you're right, first of all. I do think it's absolutely loaded next year, the whole conference, and in particular because of the quarterbacks they bring back. No other league has a set of experienced and NFL-caliber quarterbacks. But I think the South, UCLA, is the favorite. They've kind of been building toward this for the past 2 years. To have Brett Hundley back for a third season is huge. You know, one of their main issues the last 2 years has been the offensive line. It was either they were all freshmen 1 year, and then they all got injured the next year. So to finally have what I assume will be a functioning offensive line this year, to go with a third-year quarterback like Hundley, to have talent like Miles Jack on the other side of the ball, this is really their window of opportunity, especially with the turnover that Stanford and Oregon, who have kind of been the standard bearers the past few years in the conference, are undergoing this year. They're still going to be very good, obviously, but they might be a little bit vulnerable.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time. As always, look forward to catching up with you down the road, Stuart. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Stuart Mandel there, SportsIllustrated.com, College Football Insider. Always good to have Stuart on the show. On the other side, and let me take a minute, though, before we get to the other side. So you're coming into the weekend, and I want to tell you about getting into that home up in the White Mountains or down here in the valley. You're heading up to the White Mountains. Bison Realty, that's the place to go. Talk to a number of people that are looking for that summer home, that getaway home, or people up in the White Mountains that are looking to sell it. Bison Realty, Bison Ranch, get on board. 14 years in the White Mountains, whether it's Sholo, Pine Top, Heber, Obergard, Springerville, Holbrook. Licensed by the state of Arizona, licensed realtor. Call 928-242-6890. 928-242-6890. Guys, you're thinking of that summer home in the White Mountains? Boy, there's some great golf up there, some great, great places and value. 928-242-6890. Doug Tamaroe on the other side, Pat's Run. Somebody who knows the Tillman family inside and out, has dealt on Pat's Run through the years. He joins us. And then Goody at the Movies on a Friday. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports 360, AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, good to partner up with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
You know, in the midst of all the stuff going on in the world of sports, Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ on White Mountain Radio. Of course, on AZ Central Sports, going to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic. They take the show day in and day out in a partnership. And, of course, on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. You know, there's stuff going on in the world of sports this weekend that's all very cool and very fun. And you're all going to want to be involved in talking about the NFL draft. And we just did some college football with Stuart Mandel. But at the end of the day, this is Pat's Run weekend in Arizona. If you've been here longer than a nanosecond over the last 10 years, Pat's Run has been something that has been a staple. I actually participated in it last year. It was called the Pat's Walk Very Slowly by Brad. It was fun. It was a great time. But Pat's Run is tomorrow. And on this 10-year anniversary, I thought it would be very, very helpful to kick it around a little bit about the event tomorrow. If you're going down for the first time, there's people that just show up just to watch. They're in the people watching thing. Doug Tamro is always good on all subjects, ASU and the Tillman Foundation, ASU Assistant Athletic Director of Media Relations, for a couple of minutes. So how many runners tomorrow there, Doug?
We're going to get 28,000. And we've capped it just because the streets can't get bigger.
Okay, and then how many satellite runs across the country?
Oh, about 35 satellite runs, and they range from, 10 people saying they're going to do this for Pat to New York City has 500 people in their satellite run. It ends at the World Trade Center.
Okay, so how big, if you and I are sitting here talking, Lord willing, 10 years from now,
yeah,
what do you think this is going to be?
I think the shadow runs will continue to grow. I don't know how many more people we can get into Pat's run just because of the street size and, there's a certain supply and demand. Maybe it's at the perfect number now. What I think can continue to just grow is the foundation's presence. It's helping so many military people go back to school, and if you're running Pat's Run and you get that program and you open it, it blows your mind what these scholars are accomplishing and how they're going back to school in the name of Pat Tillman. It's overwhelming, and it's absolutely awesome.
Talking to Doug Tamro for a couple of minutes. Last few years, I've been asked to go speak to the Tillman Scholars, and I walk in there, and I'm immediately the dumbest guy in the room, which isn't hard. But I was telling Dave McGinnis this the other day that I'm getting to the point where I feel almost uncomfortable talking about Pat Tillman because people don't know anything about him now because they're young and they're coming up.
Right.
And, Doug, I've dealt with Pat on a daily basis, weekly basis, semi-annual basis, depending on what was. I felt like I knew him pretty well, but have you found that the message of him, that it's almost becoming like, here's part of your history studies that you need to do of Arizona sports or just military study?
Yeah, I think that the one thing that's come out of all this is you've learned about the different parts of Pat. I mean, I think the people that knew Pat as the scholar and the athlete have found out about him as the friend or the guy that would read to the elementary schools. I think the people that knew that found out about him about joining the military and being a Cardinal have found out more about his Arizona State background. I think it's just you continue to learn, you continue to hear amazing stories about him, and you continue to get emails from people that are doing things across America that make you remember him in different ways. There's a school teacher in Atlanta that basically, he's a history teacher, and he basically teaches something about Pat Tillman to his kids.
Mm.
And, he didn't know Pat. I mean, it's one thing, Pat's a lot like a nickname. When you give yourself a nickname, nobody really wants to give it to you. But if people that don't know Pat are talking about Pat, if people are spreading the word on their own, it's wonderful because you want other people talking about Pat, not just the people that knew him. Probably the neatest thing about the foundation or the committee on Pat's Run right now is a lot of people, most of the people didn't know Pat.
Mm.
And, they're the ones that are doing the most for it right now. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
I'm at lunch the other day with Marcus Williams.
Yeah.
Marcus. Marcus says, and it was the day after the ESPN special. So Marcus asked me, what'd you think? I gave my thoughts. He gave his thoughts. He said, so I'm with Pat. I'm in the Cardinals camp, and it's rookies up singing, and guys get up, and they do their thing. And Pat gets up, and he just starts belting out Desperado, the Eagles song.
Oh, my God.
And he does it, Brad, from start to finish, all the lyrics. And by the end, the whole room is standing up woofing. And so whenever Marcus hears the song Desperado by the Eagles, that Pat sung it from start to finish on Rookie. I never heard that story.
I never heard that story. But, it's kind of ironic. That song is when I hear that song, I think of the memorial when they played it up in San Jose.
Yeah.
And I just remember I lost it that day.
I was there too.
I can't hear that song and not think of Pat Tillman. And that's okay. That's okay.
Where's the foundation going here? Because I felt like it was undersold the other night during the ESPN broadcast. And there's people that are listening, they're watching, they're consuming this, saying, well, I don't know anything about this.
Right.
So where is it at? Where would people want to get more information? How they get involved?
I think the main thing is if you go to Pat Tillman Foundation, .org, you just learn about the money that's raised, the money that's donated is going back to military people who want to go back to school. And not just, I want to go get my degree, I want to finish a degree. It's, I want to go to school and figure out a way to get more water to Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's high-level stuff. You have, you know, people that were worked on in the military in a medical way and now are trying to become a doctor themselves. You know, one of the proudest things that I think it's neat is every year when I see the list and you see somebody from USC or you see somebody from another school, we let their school know and maybe they can honor them when we play Arizona, when they play Arizona State in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm proud to say that this thing is bigger than the Territorial Cup. There are Tillman Scholars at the University of Arizona. And to me, that's awesome. You know, that is absolutely awesome that that we have that down there. And, you know, Saturday, I think Saturday is the state's greatest day. I really do. I mean, I'm obviously, you know, a little jaded in my opinion.
You jaded? Come on, get but, out of here. Biased?
I think it's easily the state's greatest day. And anyone that would come to it would agree.
Well, I think the what you said earlier, in all seriousness, to say that it's bigger than the Territorial Cup.
Yeah, there you go, right?
That's pretty eye-opening.
University of Arizona had a good tweet the other day, actually. They you know, they said this transcends a rivalry, 10 years, you know, PT-42 type stuff. That was kind of cool. You know, that stuff's pretty – he's someone that everyone admires and everyone can learn from.
Be well. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Sure thing, Brad.
It's Doug Tamarow. Yeah. ASU Assistant Athletic Director of Media Relations over at ASU, all around the Tillman run, which is tomorrow. Big day in our state. Bigger than the Territorial. Eric, would you agree with that?
Yeah, because I saw the tweet he was talking about. I retweeted it, and it's pretty cool.
No,
because you know how, you know, there's not a lot of love lost between ASU and U of A. So.
Well, there's not a lot of class at times. You know, I mean, I can put up something about after basketball season of, hey, Sun Devil fans, you're going to pound away on U of A. Just get deep into the tournament. And they go crazy. And then, hey, U of A fans, if you're going to pound away on ASU football, at least get to the Rose Bowl once.
It's not just a rivalry. It's an ugly rivalry most of the time.
It's not. Is it Auburn, Alabama? I mean, that's a football question. It's better than USC, UCLA. I'll tell you that from growing up out there.
It's just
USC
it's just
cares more about Notre Dame
nasty,
than they do
nasty
UCLA.
Nasty rivalry.
No, I know.
I mean,
we don't want to get too far off the track, but that's a good football topic too. All right, on the other side, we have Goody at the Movies. There are some things before we get out of here that I want to get into today. We have more trash talking with Texas. Now we have a Texas player who calls Baylor trash. Beautiful. We love this stuff. It's the off season. Why not? We'll get into that and much, much more too. Let me take a minute here to talk about Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So yesterday afternoon, I pull off as I do about every 2 to 3 weeks. I stop on into Santan Ford. Stop on in for nothing more than to say hello, how's it going? Visit with the guys in the dealership. I pull up, get out. First words from the guy that greets me is nice Fusion. Yeah, it is. It wasn't, hey, what's your payment? It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I got people circling around me. And I like that. I went into the dealership, sat in Ann Pierce's office, visited with a couple of other guys in the office, had a good time, good visit, and a lot of things for almost 2 hours. And I see people that were in there when I walked in, and they're still there, and they're having a cup of coffee, and they're enjoying themselves and going through the process. And getting that new car, that new truck. Now, what about you? What about you? Where are you at now as you're sitting here in mid-late April and you've got your summer vacation coming up and you've got that vehicle that you know there's no way, Brad, I want to take that up to the White Mountains or there's no way I want to take that up to Lake Powell or up to the California coast. I need to get myself a new F-150. What are you waiting for? Stop on in to Santan Ford. Santan Ford, General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it upright. Santan Ford, where it is. All about you. Goody at the Movies on the other side. And much, much more as we continue on a busy Friday. Our website, plenty of content for you. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric at sports360az.com. Show also streams on AZ Central Sports. Good to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic. Thanks for checking us out on AZ Central Sports. On White Mountain Radio and on Twitter, you can reach me, hit me over the head at Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
And now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, coming into the great sports weekend, You have to know if there's any movies worth checking out. Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Goody at the movies. How are you?
I'm good. Is it really a great sports weekend?
Of course it is. We have the Larry Fitzgerald softball game. We have soccer tonight. I've got a soccer game with my 8-year-old tomorrow morning. You probably have club volleyball.
That's true.
NBA playoffs. I mean, it's all consuming here at Sports 360. We do high school, college pros. Come on.
But I want to lie on the couch.
What don't you do that anyways in your job? You sit in a chair.
Sometimes I lie on the couch.
Sometimes you run stairs when you're in a movie that's just dreadful, and you're like, okay, 10 minutes into this, I got an hour and a half to go. I'm going to go walk stairs back and forth, right? Is that what you do?
I've always wanted to try to figure out a way to put an iPad on the treadmill and then watch, but it doesn't seem fair to the people who made the movie, I guess.
What was it? I saw this on Jimmy Fallon where they had a kid who had a screen with over his glasses, and the screen could fold down. Or it's kind of like in the Steve Martin movie where he has the OptiGrab, the glasses that made their eyes go sideways, right? Remember that? you could watch movies there. Hey, I heard that Ben-Hur is being worked on for next year. Have you heard about this?
For 2016, actually.
Oh, 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
now, I mean, if it's going to be Ben-Hur, it's got to be huge, right?
Of course it is. What, have you heard anything about it?
You know, I just got some kind of... you know, I get these emails from all these studios and stuff.
Yeah.
Then it just said that they're going to do it. But the troublesome part to me, and I don't mean this to sound like in a bad way or anything, but it's going to be produced by Mark Burnett and Roma Downey. And they're the ones who did this latest Life of Jesus thing, which was an okay movie. I thought Jesus was too wimpy for my takes. but it was really just a cut down of the 10-hour TV series they did.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be them. Now, they, you know, Mark Burnett knows how to make money. And he can make it an expensive production if he wants to. But.
Bill? Did he cut himself off, Eric? Okay. He's probably still talking, doesn't even realize he cut himself off. No, we'll get to Bill in a minute. So there's some. He's in midstream. He's not. There's times where Bill is not supposed to talk about certain movies, and maybe this was one of those times. Like, the studios have all of these things of do not give this away, do not give this away, do not give this away, and maybe that was it. That, because I never tell Bill what I'm going to ask him, but we'll get back here in a second. It's February 20. I just checked out myself. It's February 26, 2016. What did I? Did you hang up on yourself? Come on.
Even I can't stand to listen to me.
Yeah, that's right. So along with Ben-Hur, okay, so it's 2 years from now. Are there some other mega movies that are going to be remade that you know that are coming?
You know, I don't know if you call them mega movies, but there are some that they say are in the works. They say, like, they're going to make a remake of The Big Chill with an all-black cast, which they had some luck with about last night this year. You know, they did that. They talk about a lot of stuff, but it seems like it may be, you know, some of these things are going to happen, some aren't. I don't know what the point is, really. I mean, especially in an age where, more likely than not, I can somehow call this thing up on my smart DVD player or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And why would I, you know, do I need another Big Chill?
I saw the remake of Gatsby the other night on HBO, sitting with my daughter, and it was just, this isn't very good.
I didn't think it was very good either.
Yeah.
I thought it was, you know,
it was
pretty cool looking. I mean, and I like him a lot. You know, I like Leonardo DiCaprio, the one thing I did kind of like is what they did with the music. But it's a lot to sit through.
Right. Speaking of a lot to sit through, let's get to some of the movies for this week, because I'm not hearing good things about them, but let's start with Brick Mansions. Tell me about Brick Mansions.
It's awful.
and there you go. Thanks.
You feel kind of bad, because it's Paul Walker's last completed movie. He was making Fast and Furious 7 when he died, and they're going to complete that now with the consent of his family by using, for stuff that he hadn't shot, they're going to use, I guess, doubles and CGI and stuff, which is kind of weird, but, you know, if his family's okay with it, I guess it's okay. But it's It's one of these parkour movies, you know, where it's a remake of a French film, but I think in my review what I said was it's basically an aerobics class in search of a plot. It's like there is a lot of that, you know. I don't know anything about parkour except it seems like a pretty good way to beat somebody's butt, you know. But mostly it's guys doing what look like gymnastics and making like mean faces and saying, you know, I'll kill you. There's just kind of a stupid plot where Paul Walker is an undercover detective who gets thrown into this place called Brick Mansions in the futuristic Detroit, where it's such a bad neighborhood that they built a brick wall around it, and they just basically let the people kill themselves. They don't really go in there or anything. It's sort of depressing. Everybody wants to like it because they like Paul Walker, and he seems like he was, you know, seems like a very nice guy, and he's by far the best thing about the movie. You know, he's not like Laurence Olivier or anything, but but at least he has some charisma. But it's just, you know, I hate that. There's no nice way to say it. I mean, his being dead doesn't make this a better movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I got it. Let's move over to The Retrieval. The Retrieval. Now, I've heard mixed on this. Some people really like it. Where are you at on The Retrieval?
I loved it. It's a Civil War movie. It's very small. You know, it won a bunch of awards at the Phoenix Film Festival. And it's about this 13-year-old boy, an African-American kid in the Civil War. It's set in 1864. And his job sort of is he'll go into, like, places that have underground railroads and stuff and befriend people and figure out who's there, and then he'll turn them in to white bounty hunters. Mm-hmm. And then they send him on this one mission, him and his uncle, and they have to bring this guy back or convince him to come back. And he kind of ends up being friends with the guy they're trying to bring back. It's got all these cool moral questions. It looks great. I mean, it's a pretty low-budget film, but, man, it really looks nice. And, you know, it's one of those small movies, not going to be around forever. But yeah, that one I liked a lot.
And that's at Camel View?
That's at Shea, I believe. But, yeah, it is an exclusive. It's only at those places. You know, the other big movie is just The Other Woman, you know, and Kate Upton's been in Sports Illustrated more than, you know, like Michael Jordan lately.
Yeah.
But she's in that, and it's pretty awful, too.
I thought of you the other morning. I was at a speaking thing. Guy comes up to me, and a big fan, and what did you think of Draft Day? I thought it was great. Oh, man, it was so, the adrenaline, I just couldn't get enough of it. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, Bill hated it, and just the previews, I hated it. Like, couldn't wait for the previews to get over with. I hated it so much. Hated it. But so you never know on these things. There is this, was it Million Dollar Arm that's coming out next month?
Yeah, I've seen that. And I talked to John Hamm about it.
Can you talk about it yet, or you got to wait a couple weeks?
No, I can tell you something about it. I'm not going to review it, but it's an interesting thing. It's based on a true story. There, you know, there's this agent who's kind of down on his luck. He's lost his biggest client. So his business is sort of failing, and he's just racking his brain, like, what can I do? What can I do? And his one of his partners is of Indian descent, and he likes to watch cricket. And so he's sitting there, as people do, in his fabulous home, drinking a beer late at night, and he sees the cricket on, and he thinks, you know, what if we turned these guys into baseball players? So, you know, the baseball people tell him, you can't do it. It's a different motion. It's a different sport. I mean, you know, it's not the same thing. And he's like, yeah, but they got strong arms. So what he decides, the way that they hit upon it is they make it a national reality show. In India. And they're going to, the two winners will come to the U.S. and get legit tryouts. They'll, you know, and of course they have to be coached more once they get here and stuff. It's
something to look forward to, it sounds like.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's one of those sort of feel-good things, but it really happened, and it's still going on.
Oh,
so they
cool.
still have these competitions in India and in other places. And, I think everybody has played sports. I mean, you were actually good, so you didn't have to.
I don't know about that.
To do what the rest of us do. You know, you always kind of dream that, like, you know, that something's going to happen that's going to get you your break. Like, they're going to come recruit you, and you're going to have an off night, and I'm going to have the game of my life, and they're going to decide, well, I mean, maybe we should look at this other guy, too, you know. Because it's not going to keep them from recruiting you, but it might give me a chance.
Well,
I mean, I think everybody's looking for that million-to-one shot, you know?
Sure. We'll talk about that a little bit further in a couple of weeks. I want to ask you on a broadcast level, because you and I have very interesting broadcast talks, or at least you do. When the Diamondbacks are really bad, don't you think that we all know they're really bad, so we would like to hear the broadcasters say, look, all of you at home, we know the team blows. You don't have to use the word blow. But,
probably not, yeah.
Yeah, but But here's why they're not good. Why are we still in an age of sugarcoating with broadcasters?
I don't know, because we shouldn't be. And I mean, it drives me nuts. I can't. And you know where this, what used to really happen, and it's kind of come around because the Cardinals have gotten better, but they had to prop up the Cardinals for years and
sure.
pretend that was a competitive football game when they were a joke, you know? But that's sort of where the Diamondbacks are, at least so far this season. I mean, maybe they'll get the thing turned around, but I can't stand it, and I think that it does a disservice to your viewers or to your listeners.
Do you think they sit in boardrooms and say it's going to impact attendance if people are being told the truth, that they're not going to want to come watch a bad product?
I don't know that it goes quite to that. I think they sit in boardrooms and tell them to say nice things about them, and I could be wrong.
I agree with you on that.
I have no idea. I don't have any contacts with those people. I don't know. You know, I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but why else would you do it? Because these are real baseball people. They know a hell of a lot more about baseball than I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the one who ends up sounding smart because I can see that they're terrible. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think it's unfair to the broadcasters. I mean, you know, one time I wore a suit to a hearing when I was a reporter in North Carolina because my editor had been complaining that I didn't dress well enough, and she told another reporter, "Well, you can put a tie on a pig." But I mean, that's what they're doing here. They're putting a tie on a pig. I mean, they're you know, great Southern expression, but I just think that it's bad because, especially now, if you look now, how do we follow things? You follow things on Twitter. You follow things on Facebook. I mean, our reporters, everybody's reporters, they tweet stuff before they write stories. Everybody has a voice now. You can have a blog, whatever it is. And I think that just all that stuff combines to make the official team voices look silly. It used to be bad enough, you hear these homers and making these calls and all this stuff. But I think that when anybody can be a critic, and everybody is, I think it calls on people to be more honest, to be more transparent.
Yes.
I kind of hate that word, and they usually use it in political terms, our transparent campaign. But I really think that viewers, wouldn't you be more interested, like you say, if they could say, you know, here's what, you know, we're not the GM, but here's what we might try, you know, or maybe here's what's going wrong. Here's what they need to correct.
I just think that broadcasting in general, there's a reason why that Shaq and Charles can sit in a studio and just kill it in the ratings. It's because, yeah, they're funny and entertaining, but they're also being just very, very honest and enough of the, boy, this is the greatest thing ever. Well, no, it's not. And you know.
We're not blind.
Yeah. There's something that's missing, I think, in today's broadcasts that you're right about social media and how it has completely changed the landscape. And I think that's why more and more people are gravitating to that rather than, why am I going to sit here for 3 hours and watch this game when I can sit here on Twitter and watch for a couple of minutes, go do something else, and not have somebody tell me how great it is and I got to show up down here to watch this stuff.
I think it's fun. The Washington Post quoted me once for saying that I was on Twitter, that it's like the world's biggest sports bar. I mean, how fun is the Super Bowl on Twitter? How fun are the Oscars on Twitter? You know, I mean, these big things. And I think you're right. And if we could somehow monetize this idea, we could have this show on your yacht.
No, I agree.
But how do you bring it into the – how do you bring broadcasting into this age, into the age of social media? You don't necessarily want your color man and your play-by-play guy tweeting during a broadcast or something. No, I don't think you want to do that. But how do you make them, what they say, how do you make that reflect what's going on in the world right now?
Well, it's a good discussion. It's a great column, by the way. I'm going to work on it. And I got to let you go off that because Eric's going to strangle me.
Then I guess I won't.
No, then you work on it. You do it. You'll do better than I'll do. I'll just keep talking about it. I'll let you go. Stay well.
Okay.
Here's Bill Goodykins, Goody at the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill, chief film critic for Gannett. There's much more to Bill than just movies. That's why I love talking with him. Hey, plenty of content up at sports360az.com. Of course, partnership with the Arizona Republic, azcentral.com. You can check that out, sports360az.com on White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio. Look forward to seeing the folks from White Mountain Radio tomorrow at the Diamondbacks game. And we're on Twitter, just as Bill said, at Brad Cesmat, CESMAT. On sports360az.com right now, we have the recruiting roundup. Jared Cohen works on that on a weekly basis with scout.com's Jason Jewell. You want plenty of high school and college football recruiting? We are very, very Arizona-centric in that area.